Church tonight, kids, if y'all want to. Since we got company here and need a good time, it's summertime, school's out, and so y'all be thinking about that. If y'all want to bring a Pepsi, bring it. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And we'll look at verse number 14. Acts chapter 24 and verse number 14. Here the Bible, let me just give you a little background of this chapter and then I'm going to read you this verse here. Paul was constantly in trouble for his stand that he took in preaching. They'd beaten him, they would stone him, they'd put him in jail, he was shipwrecked. I'm telling you, this guy, he was continually in some kind of controversy simply because of his preaching. And they accused him of all kinds of things. And here he said, I ain't done a lot of them things you people accuse me of. But he said this, look at verse 14. He said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, it ain't heresy, but they call it heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Believe in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I'll stop right there. Back in verse 14 he said, listen, you're accusing me of this, and you say I'm this way, and I've done that, and I've done all kinds of bad things. He said, you can't prove all these things you're accusing me of. And you're accusing me of being a heretic because I believe the Bible. And he said, I want to tell you something right now. I confess to that. He said, call me what you want to. Believe what you want to. Say whatever you want to. If I'm a heretic in your eyes, so be it. I ain't changing my mind. I ain't changing my beliefs. I ain't changing what I believe in. And they said, man, Paul, you're a little bit dogmatic on this, ain't you? He said, yes, sir. They said, you're narrow-minded. He said, you can be narrow-minded if you're right. Is that right? You can be. And they said, Paul, you've got an attitude. And he said, you're absolutely right. I ain't much, but after the way which you call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. That boy believed something. He believes that. And he said, I believe it. You can kill me. You can do whatever you want to, but I believe this. Well, I like that about him, don't you? He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't a Buddhist one day and a Christian the next day. He wasn't a dead day and a priest the next day. He was a Bible-believing gospel preacher throughout his entire ministry and what we call stayed by the stuff. So he had an attitude about this morning. And so I want to preach to you message I preached here probably about 7 or 8 years ago. It's entitled, Christians with Attitudes. Yeah. Christians with Attitudes. Now, that's the popular phrase now, attitude. People, every kid you say, they say, don't, mama says, don't you get an attitude with me. And the kids, they say, don't pay no attention to him. He's just got an attitude. I don't know who started that, but everybody's saying it nowadays. And I'm sure you've heard it. And every time a kid misbehaved, they'd say, oh, he's just got an attitude. You know what they did when we was growing up? They had an attitude adjuster. And it was about that long, had holes in it. And they could change your attitude real quick. I mean, they'd take you to the principal's office, and you come back with a different attitude. But they ain't got anything to do that nowadays in most cases. But these guys had attitude. There is even a rap group called NWA. You know what the N stands for? With Attitude. That's the name of their group. And they call themselves that. They say, we just want everybody to know we got an attitude. Well, you know, most of the time when we hear that today, it's usually in a bad sense. It usually means you're cocky or smart aleck or arrogant or egotistical or think you're better than somebody or just a smart aleck. But the dictionary definition of attitude, the dictionary definition of an attitude is a way of thinking, feeling, manner, or behavior of a person toward a situation or a cause. You hear that? Can be a good attitude, can be a bad attitude. Right? It's the behavior of a person toward a particular belief or a cause. Now, when you give it that definition this morning, we ought to have an attitude. Amen? There ought to be a belief and a cause that causes us to think or act or behave a certain way. I want to tell you this morning, I've got an attitude. And you ought to have an attitude. You say, well, Brother Danny, you're a preacher. You ain't supposed to have an attitude. Well, I got one. And I'm going to tell you about it this morning, okay? I want to say this morning, number one, that I have an attitude, and you ought to have an attitude, about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a certain way of feeling that I got when you talk about Jesus Christ. Amen? I tell you, brother, Jesus Christ is everything to me. He's the highest of the high. He's the greatest of the great. Nobody can compare him. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the greatest. I heard about a fifth grade class at Christmas not long ago, and they were singing Christmas carols in the fifth grade. And they were singing, joy to the world. And they made them leave out the word Lord. Right. They said, you can't say that in this school. And so they go, joy to the world, the has come. Let earth receive her. You know, like that. They say, you're not going to name that name in this school. That's some name, buddy, that a man could live 2,000 years ago and get people all tore up and bent out of shape here in 1999. I want to say this morning, I have an attitude about Jesus Christ. I had an attitude about the Lord this morning. You know what? I was sitting over there in this singing Saved by Grace. I was sitting over there listening to Brother John's choir singing. And I got to thinking that night as an 18-year-old boy when I bowed on my knees, I had nothing to offer God. I couldn't say, God, I'm a good person. You want to take me to heaven? I couldn't get up there and say, well, here's old Danny. I'm pretty good. Take me to heaven, God. I needed a Savior. I needed somebody to help me. And all those stories in the Bible about Jesus raising a lame man, about Jesus giving blind men sight. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of when Jesus Christ passed by my way and your way. I want to say it was Him that night that picked me up. It was Him that night that washed my sins. It was Him that night that wrote my name in the book of life. It was Him, blessed Jesus, that saved my soul when I didn't deserve to get saved. And if you want to see me get an attitude, you just start picking on Him or throwing up on Him. I've got an attitude about Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you ain't much of a Christian. You know what? Jesus Christ is the only thing standing between me and hellfire. The only reason I'm not going to burn and scream in hell is because of Him. And I just don't appreciate people getting into movies and saying, Jesus Christ, as a cuss word. If you can sit and watch a movie and saying Jesus Christ every other word and it don't bother you, you're either backslid or lost. Look what He done for you. Now, let me say it like this. The NEA. How many's ever heard of the NEA? You have. You just don't know it. That's the National Endowment of the Arts. It's a demonic organization that the state funds every year to do such ridiculous things like making a movie about Jesus Christ, him having affairs with Mary Magdalene, him being homosexual. You know they're making movies of Jesus Christ being homosexual? Now if that don't make you mad, you might be one. I don't know. But listen, does that make you mad? I don't preach doing the Lord like that. Amen! You say, well, Brother Danny, somebody will get mad at you if you preach. If you get mad at me, you got a big line in front of you. You're way back in line. You ain't never going to get waited on. I want to tell you what, buddy, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ has done more for me. I don't want enemies. I don't want nobody to hate me. But Jesus Christ has done something for me no big shot in this town could ever do. Jesus Christ has done more for me than the school board could ever do. Jesus Christ has done more for me than my friends or my family could ever do. And I don't appreciate them making a mockery of His name. You know what they done? They took a statue of Jesus Christ on the cross, submerged it in human urine. And they said that was art, and the NEA funded it, paid for by our tax dollars. And they call that, they say, well, we got to have freedom of speech. That's my Savior. Let them put nails in His hand for us. Yeah, well, they ought to be allowed to do that. Oh, really? Take a statue of Martin Luther King Jr., and put it in human urine and see if they'll fund it for you. You'd start a national war. You'd be on national TV. Take John F. Kennedy, stab him, submerge it in human urine. Don't give me this bull about freedom of speech. Don't censorship. That crowd that hollers that all the time, they censor us every time we open our mouth. I want to tell you what, this morning, Jesus Christ walked up Calvary with an old rugged cross on His back to save my soul from hell. I've got an attitude about the way they treat Him this morning. Amen. Listen, my mom, Miss Betty Castle, has done tremendous amount for me. She brought me into this world. She wiped my snotty nose and everything else on me when I was little and carried me around, sat up with me and rocked me to sleep when I, my mom, and I love my mom. Don't you love your mom? And I want to tell you, if a man stood up here, anybody stood up here this morning and said, that Betty Castle, she's a blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, and started cussing my mama, you know what I'd do? You say, well, what if he's real big? I'll take this microphone stand right here. That's right. You say, I don't care, buddy, I can wind this thing up. I'd start swinging. I mean, you say, you're a preacher. You mean you'd hit somebody with a microphone stand? Yes, sir. And if you let somebody talk about your mama and not do that, you ain't much of a son or a daughter. I wouldn't let somebody talk that way about it. I'm nonviolent. I ain't been to fight with a kid. But if you cuss my mom, I'd take the microphone stand at you. Hear? Yeah. Amen. If you don't believe, boy, that'll put a dent in your head, man. That'll put a dent in your head. And listen, you can cuss me and I don't care. I get it all the time. Call me up and cuss me out on the answer machine. I don't care. I can go to sleep. But I want to tell you, I won't let you talk. My mama has done a lot for me. But I got news for you this morning. Jesus Christ has done more for me than my mom. Amen. Hadn't He done it for you? You'd go to hell without Him. You better love Him. You need an attitude about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with rock music, kids. All rock and roll musicians have a negative attitude toward Jesus Christ. I don't know the one that has a positive attitude toward Jesus Christ. You say, well, oh, so-and-so claims to be a Christian, huh? Listen, they claim it, but you can't live and work in that industry and keep a right attitude toward Jesus Christ. You'll be kicked out. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Hey, Marilyn Manson ain't never done nothing for you. He wouldn't care if you died today. But Jesus loved you enough. Some of you boys need to grow up and start being a man and say, hey, I'm going to love Jesus Christ for what's done for me. Get your attitude. Get your attitude. Amen. You say, I can't. I got to be politically correct. If you're politically correct, you're biblically perverted. It's impossible to be biblically correct and politically correct. Y'all know what politics means? I've told you before. I'm the only preacher that defined that word. Now it's spread all over the place and it's right. It's two words. Poly means plural, many. Tick means what? A bloodsucker. Many bloodsuckers. Jesus Christ has done more for you than they'll ever do. You say that, Danny? I saw a movie where they made a mockery of Jesus Christ and they used his name as a cuss word. You know what you ought to do as a Christian? Stand up, spit, and say, M's fighting words, partner. Like that. And have an attitude toward the Lord Jesus. Let me say secondly this morning. We ought to have an attitude. I'm not trying to get you to be ugly or hateful or smart. Don't get me wrong. You ought to be the sweetest people in town. But there's certain things that you ought to have an attitude about. Number two, we ought to have an attitude about the Bible. Where would you be this morning if it wasn't for this book? This church wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. That book, brother, got me and you where we are this morning. That book! You know what Doc Torrey said? You remember Doc Torrey showed up about jungle and all that stuff? Doc Torrey said if you give enough chimpanzees enough typewriters and let them play with them long enough, one of them will come up with a King James Bible. M's fighting words. M's fighting words. You see, when I didn't know what I was going to do or where I was going to turn to or how I was ever going to make it at 2 o'clock in the morning laying in my bed crying at night, it was that book right there that I picked up and found some help and comfort in there. It's that book that I've got in my office over there and prayed, God, show me which way I should go and which decision I should make. It's that book that tells me how to raise my kids. It's that book that tells us how to operate our school and how we're supposed to do in this church. And it's not my opinion, it's that book. It's that book. And I'll tell you what, buddy, them chimpanzees can't come up with a Bible. Dr. Torrey can't even. He'd come up with a monkey manual if he left it up to him. But I'm going to tell you what, brother, I've got an attitude about the Word of God. Here's what mankind does. Any society does this. Mankind goes from bondage to liberty. When God sends revival to a nation, they go from bondage, like children of Israel, like America when they come here, they go from bondage to liberty. They go from liberty to abundance, prosperity. They go from abundance to compromise. They go from compromise to indifference. They go from indifference to deception. They go from deception to dependency on other countries. And after that, they go back to bondage. Where's America on that list? Next to the last step, dependency. We're dependent on the foreign countries to keep us up right now. You know what? God blessed America like no other nation has been blessed. We went from liberty to abundance. We went from abundance to compromise. We went from compromise to indifference. We went from indifference to deception. That's when the Beatles came. All the Eastern religions started coming. Buddha became cool. Muhammad became cool. All religions are okay. Meditate yourself to sleep at night. Tie yourself up in a knot in the corner and think positive thoughts and everything will be all right. Then we went to dependency and back to bondage. That's where we're headed. Because threw the Word of God out. You know what Phil Donahue said about you and me? Phil Donahue was marching with the homosexuals in Washington, D.C. And he said, quote, to all you Bible-thumping fundamentalists, talking about us, that's what they call it, Bible-thumping fundamentalists, who use the Word of God to justify your homophobia, he said, we all say, get over it. Well, I got news for old Philly with his Captain Kangaroo haircut. You say, why are you throwing off on him? Because of what he said about my Bible. Amen. You leave my Bible, I'll leave him alone. Amen. Amen. I got news for him. We ain't about to get over it, are we? We're worse than we ever been. And these people all over this world believes that book still. And just because a loudmouth, cheap low rate has been talk show host. Right? Let's talk about the Word of God. Ain't going to change us one bit. We believe this book, and we got an attitude about somebody throwing off on us. Amen. We picked up a girl that one night hitchhiking, me and somebody, and we was trying to witness to her. It's been 15 years ago. Took her uptown, we was taking her out toward the truck stop where she lived out there. And me and this other preacher, and we was talking to her and trying to witness to her. And she said, the Bible has contradictions in it. And I said, well, I got one right here. Would you show them to me? And she said, well, I don't know where they're at, but it's in there. All these people say that. Oh, the Bible contradicts itself. Hand them one and say, I'll give you $1 million. They can't show you one. They just heard somebody say that, and they're trying to sound tough and big like people's on. They can't do it. Let me tell you, brother, we have an attitude about the Bible. Thirdly, let me say quickly. I'm going to have to hurry this morning. Thirdly, we have an attitude about church. We do. We've got an attitude about church. Somebody said, well, I didn't come to church. And Brother Danny, that's right. I think you ought to be here. I think you ought to come to church all the time. I think you ought to come. I don't think it's wrong for you to take a vacation once a year, twice a year, whatever. I'm not saying I'm not stupid. I don't want you to come in here puking. But listen, we have an attitude about church. Some of you people miss church too easy. Least little thing. You say, oh boy, here it comes. You're right, here it comes. I've got an attitude. Where was you before you came to church? Where was I when I came to church? Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Listen, she's cussed. She's made fun of. But the old ship of Zion sails right on, piercing through the darkness, keeping the light shining to sinners, keeping the lights turned on, preaching the Word of God. Here we are. Still here this morning, June of 1999. They said we'd never make it. They said the church is going down. Brother, I've got an attitude about church. Man, I woke up this morning. I had the awfulest headache ever was. I was up till almost 4 o'clock. I was up till almost 4 o'clock night before last. And I know it's from just not having no sleep. I think it was 20 to 4 last. I looked at the clock this morning. 7:20, I was wide awake. You know what I'd done if I'd been some of y'all? I'd have said, I've got a headache. I'm not going to church. You say, ain't it hurting now? Nope, feels fine now. After I loaded up itty powders and prayed. But it'll probably kill me after I get through. Because you say, well, why are you here? Because this is my church. I belong here. This is where God wants me. Some of you people, Lord have mercy. I know how some of you guys are. You're wiping up on Sunday morning. Little baby's got one booger in his nose. One booger. And you're saying, oh, it's sick. I better stay here with him this morning. I don't want him infecting all the other kids. Oh, he's sick. I better not take him to church this morning. And then you husbands get so compassionate and say, darling, I couldn't dare leave you here all by yourself. I'll stay with you and help you take care of little Junior's booger. And we'll, yeah. Oh, let me tell you, bro, you hypocrites, you wait on Monday morning. When Monday morning comes, she says, oh, Junior's still sick. Well, you get out of that bed and get to work. Call the babysitter. They'll come over here and stay with him. Ain't that the way you do? You'll call somebody to come get you on Monday morning if your car won't start. But if you just think it won't start on Sunday. See, if absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people sure love church. Because they ain't been the coon's age. Amen. That's right, buddy. We got an attitude about church. I think you ought to come to church when you're sick. You might as well be sick here. You'll feel better. It ain't going to make you well staying at home most of the time. And I said, don't come in puking. But listen, if you jerk your shirt out and do it like this. Right. It's like gravy running down you. But keep it off the pew. But you might need to stay at home if you're that bad. I love that story. That little old boy, he's sick, about to throw up in church. And he said, Daddy, I'm about to throw up. And he said, son, we'll run down there, downstairs, and down there at the end of the hall, and in the bathroom, throw up. And he went out in just a minute, come back. And the guy said, well, you better? And he said, yep, feel better. Did you go all the way down there and throw up? How'd you get back so quick? He said, I didn't have to go back there, Daddy. Right back there, there's a little box. Said, for the sick. You know, the man come along collecting that offering after church would be in for a big surprise. I want to tell you what, we got an attitude about church. Some Christians are like wheelbarrows. They have to be pushed all the time. Some are like canoes. They have to be paddled. Some are like kites. You got to keep a string on them or they'll fly away. Some are like football. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce next. You ever throw the football down? It'll fool you every time, man. I never could stand a football. The way it's shaped. So you try to bounce one, bing, it goes that way. That reminds me of some Christians. You're like this. Bing, 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 bing. You're like you're in a pinball machine. You know why you feel like that? Because you're going by your feelings. You say, you're going to fuss? I'm going to fuss just a second. Get up. Get out of my bed! Get your kids in here. Be in Sunday school. Listen, some of you have probably had 100 people could have preached in this morning. Take it for granted, why don't you? Thank God you've got your help and get up and come to Sunday school in the house of God and be a part of it. What God's doing. Make up your mind this morning you're going to be in Sunday school. I don't understand you out of church like that. We got an attitude about church. Yes, sir. Some are like balloons full of hot air and ready to blow up any minute. You say, I don't believe in going to church. I just love the Lord. Yeah, I've met a lot like that. Amen. You're kind of like a student without a school. You're like a soldier without an army. You're like a citizen that don't vote. You're like a salesman with no customers. You're like a captain with no crew. You're like a bee without a hive. You're like a ball player with no team, man. You need to get in the church and be a part of it and quit taking it for granted and get you an attitude about going to church. I have people all the time say, well, where's you at Sunday? Well, you know, Granny stumped her toe. We ain't been to see her since she stumped her toe. And me and the family felt like we ought to go see Granny. You know what you ought to do? Go see Granny on Monday. If it's so important. Man, come on now. Don't dry up on me. That's right. You know you can make arrangements. Some of y'all plan when you're going to miss. On Friday, I don't think I'm going to be feeling good Sunday. You already got it put out in the back of your head. And you think God don't know your heart? He sure does. You think God ain't keeping the records? You don't think He notices everything you put forth for His glory? He sure does. Some of you this morning need to make up your mind. From this day on, buddy, listen, I know it's hot outside. Big deal. Be hot tomorrow. You can get out this evening. Honor the Lord. Get in church, man. Be a part of it. The Lord will bless you for it. Lastly, and I'm through. We have an attitude about salvation by grace. You say, you just... The world push-up champion does this. He does push-ups. Does push-ups 4 hours a day. Can you imagine? Now, you know, here's one. Here's the world push-up champion. He does push-ups. And they tried to witness to him. And somebody was trying to witness to him. That idiot does that 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day, man. And you know what he said? He said, I don't believe in carrying things to the extreme. They tried to get the guy to come to church. He said, I don't believe in going to the extreme on things. Anybody that do push-ups 4 hours a day could be the best Christian in the town if they just use that dedication and energy the right way. Some of you ladies, and I ain't fussing at you, my wife's been exercising. She really has. Man, she's got on this big exercise program. She's so she couldn't walk the other day. And you know, they've been doing, I think it's good. I think everybody in here ought to exercise. Don't get me wrong. But you'll go and you'll exercise and you'll tone. Like that one woman said, she eat about 5,000 fat grams in order to Diet Coke. No, sir, I ain't drinking them regular Cokes. They got too much sugar in them. But you're so dedicated to that stuff. You're more dedicated to Mary Kay. And I don't even know if there's anybody who knows it, and I don't care if you do or not. They might be an Amway person in here, Avon, whatever. I don't care. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. But you ought to put your church and honor God and His church and His doctrine way ahead of something like that. Amen. Amen? That's right. We have an attitude towards salvation by grace. You know what you can do? You know why we have an attitude like this? And I'm through. Because you can tie yourself up in a knot in time that you can't never undo in eternity. I love that song that Miss Kelly sang a while ago. Grace. Marvelous grace. It's a wicked doctrine that makes people think they've got to earn their way to heaven. And that's keeping more people out of church. People say, I can't let it, so I ain't coming. If they could ever get it through their head, God's grace is free. And He's willing to give it to you. Well, I got an attitude about that. Have you? There's some things this morning that we ought to get just a good attitude about. If you think you can live for the Lord and please the Lord and still be buddy-buddy with the world and everybody's going to love you and there's going to be no controversy and no fight, you're just wrong as you can be. Read your New Testament. He had an attitude. He said, I believe all things written in the prophets and the law. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. We're going to sing this morning. Some of y'all need to make some strong commitments to the Lord right now. He's already coming to pray right there in your seat right now where you stand before we go. You just say, all right, Lord, from now on I'm going to try to get my priorities straight. And I'm going to put first things first. And I'm going to get in here and serve God. And I'm going to do right. And the Lord bless you for it. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for a good day that you blessed us with already. Meet back with us this evening. For choir practice and the service tonight, may the Holy Spirit of God come down and do great and mighty things. And Lord, help everyone here this morning to take the message right. Help them to take it in the way and the spirit that I tried to deliver it in. And I pray it'd make us stronger, sharper Christians for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.